Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Majesty, we bless you. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we declare that your name alone be praised. Shelatosa labranda gatapostia. Blessings and honor and glory and power be ascribed to you, O God of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's an honor and a privilege, O God, every time we're gathered before you. And tonight you have brought us to grant us access to wisdom, to empower us and to turn us into signs and wonders. Lord, we submit to your wisdom and we cry in the name of Jesus, the Son of the risen King, that tonight you will bless us in no small way. Open our eyes, grant us illumination in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. It's good to be back home. Hallelujah. Very quickly, let me welcome all who are worshiping with us for the first time. Inside, outside, online, this is your first time worshiping with us tonight. Please, wherever you are, I'd like you to stand up on your feet. Just stand very gallantly. God bless you, Koinonia. Let's celebrate them. Celebrate them. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please let me have one of the cards. On behalf of Jesus Christ himself, come. I salute every one of you and thank you so much for making our time to come. This is Koinonia, a meeting put together by Eternity Network International. It's worth clapping, my dear. Don't feel embarrassed. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're here Fridays and God is helping us, even as you've experienced and you will yet experience tonight. I guarantee you that your life will never be the same. Many of you have traveled from several regions within and outside this nation. The Lord will not disappoint you. There are officials standing at your left or right. They would give you a card that looks like this. The upper part is for your consumption. You can have that part. It contains details about the ministry. Please do make out time to go through it. The second half would require you filling it. Please do well to complete it legibly. You can do that as soon as you are seated when we're done praying for you. And then they will collect it. You wave it and then they will come and pick it up. It just helps us to follow you up and then to be able to reach you. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to pray for you, and it is the greatest gift we can give you on this day, to speak words of blessings over your life. The Lord has anointed us and our words are not empty. Stretch your hands, saints of God, and let's bless them. We decree and declare that the blessings of heaven rest upon you. You'll go from glory to glory, grace to grace. Every limitation in your life will be swallowed up tonight. The hand of God is mighty upon you. Go from glory to glory. We bless you with hunger for spiritual things. We pray that every challenge you came here with, in the name of Jesus, it will crumble like the wall of Jericho. I decree and declare that you are blessed. You remain blessed. You remain lifted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you and please be seated. Hallelujah. Let me start tonight by, I just thought in my heart to do this, to truly appreciate every one of us, and even our family outside of this localized region. We're a global family truly, and you cannot believe the level of cohesion that although we are far from one another, I'm sure that the future will provide meetings that will make you see the other side of this family. It's very large. We constitute a minute fraction of the stretch that God has provided, and we're honored to be part of what He's doing. So I really want to appreciate everyone, the love, support. I just wrote a few things down here and I'm looking at them, and your prayers. I think it was last week, a dear gentleman from Sweden. Now, people sow and give, but he did something that I told him that I was going to appreciate him publicly. I had met him once when he I was to see him and a former ambassador to Rwanda. And then he went back to Sweden and bought 1,000 chairs for the ministry. And he's not the only one, believe me. There are literally thousands of people committing seeds, sacrifices, even over a project. I'm yet to even speak about it, and several people across, Apostle, just let us know what we can do. This is how you know that the favor of God is upon you. And when people go that far to honor you, you must not take them for granted. Praise the Lord. So we really appreciate everyone. Thank you so, so much. Praise the name of the Lord. Happy Valentine. You know, while I was coming, I was just thinking, wondering what many of you will think I'll be sharing tonight. You will be surprised I will teach on rapture. What's wrong with teaching on rapture? Hallelujah. I trust that won't take long tonight, but I truly thought about what the Lord will have me share, and I've been passionate about imparting wisdom. This for me is the most important thing in this season, the impartation of wisdom, the faculty of knowing what to do. And I thought to just honor today by sharing with us three priorities in life. I think I would call them the most important priorities in our lives. The three most important priorities. Hallelujah. It's a strong charge, but I trust that it will grant us wisdom. It is very important. Please look up now. It is very important that our days be spent in wisdom. Just because we are given the gift of time does not mean that as time passes, we are making the most of our destinies. Are we together? 200 years ago, there was almost no one on earth today that is on earth today. If Christ tarries 200 years after now, then most probably maybe just a few people, if at all. And so it means that we're in the middle of a time frame that must be utilized with wisdom. Are we together? And I thank God for a dimension of philosophical approach that He's given me as far as interpreting life is concerned. It's been beneficial to my life, and I trust that God will bless us tonight in Jesus' name. So can you pray in 1 minute again? Open my eyes. Remember, we keep praying this prayer. It's not a ritual. Open my eyes. I am in your presence. I have come to Mount Zion. Let my eyes be open. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So three important priorities. Now please look up. God gave us 24 hours. The unit of destiny is time. Time is the unit of destiny. That means that your entire lifespan is measured as a function of time. Every day that passes, chronos, we call it, the passage of time, it counts to your overall destiny. And it matters that we are equipped with the knowledge that helps us to live lives that are effective and relevant. I had the privilege to be profoundly mentored by Dr. Miles Monroe. And so it gave me a very, very intelligent perspective about life, about purpose, about vision, and I'm ever grateful for it. Hallelujah. Now, not everything in your life produces the same effect as far as your destiny is concerned. Please listen. God gave us 24 hours and is full of several activities that can move us towards destiny. But not all of them move us at the same level, and not all of them carry the same gravity. Are we together now? It is very important. I think one of the wrong perceptions that our generation has is that we allocate equal time and equal priority and equal interest to everything and anything. Your time for play is equal to your time of prayer. Your time of gisting is equal to your time of personal development. There must be a system of prioritizing your life. Please listen very carefully. And so I want to show you the three, in my opinion, and supported by scripture, the three most important things in a man's life. These three areas I want to show you tonight are worth dying for. Not everything is worth dying for. Hallelujah. There are people who have died for nothing. There are people who have died the deaths of fools. It is important to know what is worth committing your energy, your time, and your money. Listen, at the end of your life, there are only few things that will make your life count. Believe me when I tell you this. In the maze of several activities clamoring for your attention, you know, the average young man is like a magnet attracting different things that need your attention in life. And I have found out in my little experience and by the privilege of wisdom and mentorship and the word that in the end of your life, there are not more than 4 or 5 things that are worth living for. So in our busyness, our attempt to make money, marry, have children, serve God, grow ministries, expand, all of these things are important. But a time must come in your life where you have to just shut the door and say, what is really important? Because many of us, as I'll be showing you, if you don't know what is important, you will major on the minors and you will minor on the majors. Are we together now? Praise the Lord. Right, so very quickly, the first and most important priority in any man's life, regardless of call, regardless of assignment, regardless of whatever it is your experience, is the first real priority worth dying for, worth living for, is your relationship with God. Please write it down. Your relationship with God is not the first most important thing. It is the highest. Your relationship with God. What is the purpose of God in your life? Please look up. You will be surprised how many believers cannot answer this question. What is the purpose of God in a man's life? Many will tell you to make us rich. Many will tell you to make us succeed. You're not wrong, but you're not entirely right. What exactly is the purpose of God? Why should Bill Gates need God? Why should the leader of a terrorist group need God? Why should a first class student need God? Why should a dying man need God? Why is it that when you stand at the bed of someone about to die, you will not tell him, remember your real estate. Have you written your will? You just say, please, have you made your ways right with God? And if he gives his life to Christ, you can stand there and smile while he transits. Your relationship with God. What is the purpose of God in your life? I want to tell you. Because many believers do not know the purpose and the relevance of God. We only know some of the things that he can do. But why do I need God? And if we do not clear up this understanding, it will affect us in the future. Because Africa, look up please. Africa as a continent, because we are saddled with our pressure of poverty and the need for relevance and several things, it necessitates our religious affiliations. So you find out that when people go out of this region and life is comfortable, they have policies that support their well-being, usually they will not need God again. So what is the purpose of God in my life? Is it to make me a man of God? Is it to make me get a job? See, purpose is what gives value to everything in life. No matter what you have and no matter what you do, if it is not supported by purpose, purpose answers the question why. Why God? Is God blessing someone already? I want to give you three reasons why you need God in your life. Remember, we're examining the most important things, the priorities in a man's life. Number one, God is important in your life because it is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ that secures your eternal destiny. God is relevant in a man's life because without a relationship with God, there is no guarantee for your eternal destiny. John chapter 3 from verse 15, you read to 17. John chapter 3, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Then 16 says, for God, not for angel Michael, not for angel Gabriel, not for the third living creature, for God himself so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. Why do I need God in my life? Because the only security to my eternal destiny is my relationship with God. Please listen to me. There is no educational qualification that crosses the boundary of the earth realm. There is no savvy, business savvy, that sustains the ability to cross the earth realm. It is important for us to understand that our relationship with God is not just a tool for success alone. Primarily, the Bible says if our hope is only in this world, we are of all men most miserable. Listen to me. No matter what you lose in life, if your relationship with God is still intact, you are still a winner. Hear what I'm saying? And no matter what you gain in life, if you lose God in the process, you really lost. The Bible gives us the parable of the rich man. Are we Bible students? And Lazarus. That man had a lot of money. That man had so many things. And then he died. Lazarus died. Sin too. They now get to a realm where money does not count. They now get to a realm where education does not count. They now get to a realm where political affiliation is not an advantage. And the Lazarus is sitting at Abraham's bosom. And the man is at the other side. And he's standing, wondering, and crying for a drop of water. That means the purpose was not really to quench the kind of thirst you think. Are we together now? Please listen to me. Let me tell you this. Your relationship with God is not loyalty to your parents' religion. Your relationship with God is not an affiliation that was brought about by your sympathy
to Christianity that you compared many religions and you felt like an award. This is the best, so I go for it. The proposition that we give people sometimes as ministers as to why they should come to God may be very sincere, but it is dangerous. If the only reason why I introduce you to God is because of tea and bread, then you are in trouble. The relevance of God spans this realm. It is very important. This is God for you.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find precious joy in married clay, turning sinners into saints. And I will always sing your praise, here on earth and ever after. Listen. For you've shown me heaven's my true home. When it's all been said and done, draw my life when life.
Whether you like what I'm saying or not, a day will come when your wisdom will be tested. It will not be tested by an exam. It will be tested by a transition. The wise ones are the ones who will still stand, whether or not they are in this realm. Listen, this is the reason why we continue to introduce people to Jesus. It's not that we are guilty of not being evangelists. No. Your relationship with God. So the first purpose of God in your life is the security of your eternal destiny. Number two, the second reason or the second purpose of God in your life, I hope you understand how I'm arranging it, is your exploits in life. It is true that you can succeed in life without God, but I guarantee you there will be a vacuum in your success that will make it clear that it's not God that brought you there. I've had the privilege, and I will tell you this, I've had the privilege to be connected to a lot of blessed and influential people. I have seen power, I have seen dimensions of wealth and relevance in the lives of people, but I'm surprised at the vacuum that refuses to be filled by these things. Education, money, prestige, and all of these things. When God lifts you, he lifts you in such a way that his space remains intact. Are we together now? Your exploits in life. Daniel 11:32. The Bible says, the B part, but the people that do know their God, it says, they shall be strong and shall do exploits. Shall do exploits. Your excelling in life depends on your relationship with God. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 30. It says, for by thee I have run to a troop. It says, by my God I have leaped over a wall. Impossible feat based on your connection with God. It is true that our connection with God transcends the relevance that this time brings, but it also makes sense in this life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That one with God is truly a majority. When God holds your hand, like the worship team will always sing, everything is possible. It is true. When God decides to hold a man's hand, He will work wonders through your life that will dumbfound principalities and powers. Your life becomes an epistle of wonder after wonder. Why do we need connection with God? Because our exploits in this life depends on it. The wisdom that comes from God, the creativity that comes from God, the anointing that comes from God. I met a family that cried to me and said, "Apostle, our lives are in complete shambles. We've heard what God is doing through you. Please, can you pray for us?" And I looked at them with joy in my heart because I knew their lives will change. Yes. There is what God can give you that will help you to change men, change cities, change territories. Connection with God is an advantage. And when I talk about God, I talk about the God of the Bible, because God means many things to many people. So that there's no confusion, we're talking about the God, the creator of the ends of the earth.
When you hold my hand, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hand, impossible becomes possible. When you hold my hand, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hand,
don't let the job situation intimidate you. Don't let the pride of men intimidate you. Just make sure that at all times your hands are on His hands. He says, "I have engraved you in the palm of my hands," and step by step, you will watch God lift you level by level. Listen, my life is a testimony of what happens when God holds a man's hand. When you hold God's hand, it's a good thing, but when He holds your hand,
when you hold my hand, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hand, impossible becomes possible.
Supernatural exploits, a product of the hand of God upon a man. The Bible says, "And the hand of God was upon, it came upon Elijah." When you do normal and natural things, it's not worthy of commendation, because that's what men do. But when your life produces a result that only God can produce, it is proof that you are assisted by a divine hand. You need to strengthen your connection with God. By you, I will run to a troop. By my God, I will leap over. Let's hurry up. Number three. Now please look up. This is the most important purpose of God in your life as far as earth is concerned. As far as earth is concerned. The third point I give you is that only God can give you true peace and fulfillment. Please write it down. The third reason why you need God in your life is that only your connection with God guarantees peace and fulfillment. Everybody, please say peace and fulfillment. Most people, please look up. You see, respectfully speaking, most of us here there are very few people here who are already established from all of the indications of establishment. And so most of us are on a journey or beginning the journey to establishment and so on and so forth. So you may not value things like peace and fulfillment because you are still trying to make ends meet. There is a level when you get to, you will find out that nothing in life sustains the ability to give you peace. The highest index for measuring wealth is peace. Write it now in advance and thank me decades to come. The highest index for measuring wealth, for measuring relevance, is peace. The highest measure of wealth and freedom, that's what I wrote here. The highest measure of wealth and freedom is peace. Three scriptures quickly. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, Koinonia, read on with me. We have peace with God. Hold on, don't rush. Peace with God is different from the peace of God. Peace with God means I have made my way right with God. Peace with God. It's not the same as the peace of God, that you have made peace with God. That means when I look at God, I stand with joy, knowing that there is no barrier that interrupts fellowship. Peace with God. Peace with God. It says we are justified by faith, and now we have peace with God. Most people do not have peace with God. We may have money, we may have titles, and these things are not wrong. We may have all of the things that people chase after, but when you lack peace with God, there is a serious problem. Because at the end of your life, what will give you fulfillment is knowing that my ways are right with God. Look how the generals that transited in recent times transited. Reinhard Bonnke, knowing that his time was almost there, he was with joy and gladness. He came to Nigeria, preached his, he knew it was his last message. He said it. He had raised Daniel Kolenda. He had put everything in place. And he said, Ed, I see you when we join the cloud of witnesses to come and pick the rest. He waved a bye. Peace with God. These men knew where they were going. They were not hoping. No. Billy Graham, one of the few people who finished his assignment and remained and was just watching earth. You will know a man has finished his assignment. Set up the Billy Graham Institute, and when it was time, with honor and with joy, he waved his hand. Same thing, T.L. Osborne. There are people who wake up and say, where am I? They say, you are not on earth again. It's over. It's over. What happened? The last thing I know is that I left one city. I was hurrying up to go. It's over. Period. Where is my PA? It doesn't exist here. Where is my certificate? It doesn't exist. John 14:27. It's a good Valentine message. John 14:27. Read on with me, Koinonia. Ready? One, two, read. Peace I leave with you. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus is speaking here. Peace I leave with you. Among the many things, listen, there are two things the Bible tells us we should expect. One, peace. Two, the Holy Ghost. Peace I leave with you. You need it so much. Forget joy. It will come. But peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. It says, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That means these two things will remain in your destiny until the peace of God comes to drive them out. Trouble, fear will remain in your heart until the peace of God comes to build a garrison. The peace of God. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. A state of restfulness. Look at me. The peace of God is not based on results. The peace of God is a supernatural impartation of that dimension. You can be in the midst of fire, yet you are like the still waters. If you are waiting for everything to be in place for you to have peace, that's how the world gets. But there is the peace of God that in spite of every storm in your life and your family, it is true that you've not paid your rent. It is true that things are, you know, haywire, your academics, your life is true, you've not had a child yet. And people see you and you are completely restful. Because there are few things that are worth dying for. There's a peace that I have, in spite of all the sadness that surrounds me, and these things in my heart only comes alive every time I hear a voice. Comes alive. There are some of you who are doctors here. Look at me. Young people now are depressed over nothing. It's because they have not had this message. You see people wrinkled, you guess and say you are 40. Say, I just clocked 28. What has added your age like that? The trouble that continues to disturb people. I need to make it. I'm not teaching you to be irresponsible. But hear me, you will die for nothing. And the world will bury you and keep moving. You need to learn to come to a point where you say, hey, shut the door at every trouble and everything and find rest. He leads me beside the sea. Life has a noisy way of depressing you. Left, right, till now you've not gotten a job. Till now you've not married. The child has not come. This has not happened. Today, Valentine, nobody called you again. You see, all those kinds of these things, listen to me. When those things happen, it's amazing. Your BP begins to rise. You know why? You are thinking nonsense. That is not the mind of Christ. And yet you can be completely happy. Where will my school fees come from? Where will my rent come from? Listen, worry does not solve today's problem. Worry kills today's peace. It kills today's opportunities. It destroys tomorrow's door so that you cannot even make progress in your life. Jesus took a whole chapter to talk about worry. Listen, this is a very powerful message. Learn peace now. Don't wait till they pay you salary. If your peace depends on your external environment, Satan has mastered you. It means you are about to die fast. Only comes alive every time I hear you. Not every time I receive an alert. Not every time I receive an award. Not every time I feel I am making progress. The voice of God is my peace. A state of restfulness, not irresponsibility, restfulness. Lord, you are in control. Why will you be awake and I'll be awake too? One of us should sleep. You have chosen that you do not sleep nor slumber, so let me find sleep. Many people don't sleep because of all kinds of depression. What is happening to my father? What is happening to my mother? And Satan just adjusts. Hey, do you know they just said that the land that your house was built upon, there's supposed to be a road there. And they're going, what will I do? And you see people say, my soul, find rest. One more time, prophesy. Say, my soul, find rest. Voice of of God is not there. There can be an earthquake and he's not in it. There can be all kinds of winds, and when all that nonsense is gone, then here he comes. The still small voice. Are we together? Do you know that every time we are troubled, we should change the power of God from coming to our lives? It is only when you are at rest. Even doctors will tell you, when they want to carry out surgical operations on patients and they find out that their BP is vacillating, they will have to say, look, find a way of stabilizing this woman emotionally. Is that true? They gather their family members to crack jokes. They find something that makes them happy. It's been proven that when family members are gathered around sick patients or things they like, it can aid their recovery. I was watching, I think it was day before yesterday or so, on the news when they were showing people in China dancing to ease the whole the coronavirus. And people were just dancing. And if it makes them happy, why not? Listen, beware of prolonged depression, gloominess, when the peace of God does not find expression in your life. Death is being ministered to you. You are dying already. It's not when you are sick and cannot move. Are we blessed? Peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 16. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace. How long? By all means. You know what by all means means? Whatever it means, it will take God to seek to ensure that you remain. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord will give you peace by all means. That is, it is based on his desire to give you peace that he prospers you. If he notices that the peace is being interrupted because of poverty, he will switch and attack poverty and take it personal. Not because he's really interested in money. The goal is that you find peace. Please understand this. When God lifts you, when God blesses you, when God wipes your tears, this is what he wants to give you. And he said, by all means. This is why he keeps pumping mysteries upon mysteries. He's giving you all the keys. It is his by all means agenda to make sure that whatever it will take, you do not remain small. The Lord of peace himself will give you peace always, by all means. Are we blessed? So your relationship with God, this is the first most important priority in your life. Please do not. Believers, hear me. It matters that you make up your mind now that nothing will ever make me leave God in this life. You would think what I'm saying is very simple and very easy. No. Make up your mind. What shall separate us, the Bible says, from the love of God? Then he begins to list many things. For many people, they've not even seen one tenth of those things. And yet they understand, say, God, I will wave you and will reconsider it when you are serious with me. People have left God because of marriage. People have left God because of money. People have left God because of education. People have left God because of all of those things. That you get to a point where you say, Lord, the issue of leaving you is like an initiation, and there and there for good. Make up your mind that I'm stuck with you, and I'm stuck with you genuinely. I'm not using you, I am here to stay, and I'm here to stay eternally. Now listen, your relationship with God is worth fighting for. Your relationship with God is worth dying for. Your relationship with God is the highest, the noblest pursuit on earth. Fail in every other area of your life and ensure that you are rich towards God. You still won. Did you hear what I said? Yes, sir. There were two men hanging on the tree. They were thieves. And one of them was arguing and talking a lot of nonsense towards Jesus. And the other one, you know, began to call on his mercy. And he said, this day, you will be with me in paradise. Straight up. Because you made a decision to be connected to God. Many people would rather be connected to politicians than God. Rather be connected to this. Now, men are important. But God first. In the beginning. It must remain so. In the beginning. Not later in the equation. God. In the beginning. God. God is not an option when all else fails. You say, God, talk. Since there's nowhere to go, let me just... In the beginning, and from the beginning, let it be God. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I just wanted to sing that verse. From beginning to the end, Alpha, Omega. I'm not with you for 10 years. I'm not. Have you seen people that you meet and say, I used to know you? And they'll tell you, well, those days, FTS or SU or something. Say, now, the reality of life has made us to go. Where did you go to? Jesus looked at the disciples and said, will you also go? He said, to whom shall we? No matter what happens in your life, please always make sure that you are on God's side, guaranteeing that you are safe. Are we blessed? The first priority in a man's life is your relationship with God. Number two, the second most important priority in your life, worth dying for, worth living for, worth sacrificing for, is your family. Family is a very important thing in the sight of God. Family is a very important thing in society. Hallelujah. Family life is very important. The most important unit of society is family. Society is full of all kinds of institutions, religious institutions, judicial institutions, commerce centers for commerce, but the most important unit and institution in any society is family. Someone say family. What is the purpose of family? Why is family important? I will give you two reasons. Number one, your family in most cases will be your greatest support and motivation system. Put it this way. Your greatest support and motivation will almost always come from family. Family will generally provide you the greatest support system and the greatest motivation. Why is family important? Because your family, both nuclear and then extended, your family will usually, not in all cases, but in most cases, will be the last place that you can fall back on when all fails. No matter what you become or don't become, you are almost sure that no matter what it is, family will be your greatest support and will be your greatest motivation. Listen, from scripture, there is no guarantee that you have indefinite support and motivation anywhere. The strongest support system and the strongest motivation system in your life will almost always, there are very few exceptions, but almost always be family. It was because of family relationship that Joseph looked at his brothers and did not lock them up, and looked at them and said, you guys, what you did 12 years, but we are family. Sit down and eat. Family is very, very important. Job, when Job lost almost everything in his life, the last person who was standing with him was not his brother, was not Elihu, was not the other two gentlemen. The Bible says in Job 42 verse 10, that when Job prayed for his friends, so he had friends that were alive. Where were they? He had friends that were alive, but they were not there. But his wife stood. Even though she was talking a lot of nonsense, at least she stood. The person that insults you and stands. It's like flogging a child and say, I will kill you. And you are still shifting him from the junction. Are we together? Family is very important. Look at me. If you do not understand the power of family, then you will be building catastrophe in your destiny. There is no guarantee that your church, koinonia, job, business, anything will indefinitely guarantee you. When everybody, listen to me, said crucify Jesus, when everything happened, at least when he resurrected, angels came. The Holy Ghost came on the third day to bring him back to life. And where did he go back to? Talk to me. He went and a throne was prepared at the right hand of the Father, and he sat down. Listen, please hear me. Your family is very important. First, your physical family, and then your spiritual family. Your spiritual family is also family. They are the only ones who have the ability to take your nonsense and still love you. The whole world does not think you are that much of a big deal. Are you getting what I'm saying? Family is very important. Family is very powerful. Your greatest support, your greatest motivation will come from family. Now, this is true. Listen, look up, please. And if you understand this, then all of the other things like marriage, relationship, destiny connections now become something you pay attention to. Why? Because you now know that your greatest support is family. You can lose a job, but your family remains your family. Even when they say they disown you, it's just a psychological statement. Are we together? Family is important. And that means that for you to excel in family life, it requires serious preparation. Whether it is relationship, whether it is marriage, anything that has to do with family life. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me very carefully. Family life is a serious issue that requires very serious preparation. The Bible says there is no man intending to build a house, he says, who will not sit down and count the cost. Write this down. The most important key to sustainable relationships and marriage is knowledge. The most important key, there are many other keys, but the most important key to sustainable relationships and marriage is knowledge. Please say knowledge. The most important key to relationships and marriage and family, especially within the context of marriage, is not love. No. Love is important, but more than love, knowledge. Broadly speaking, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Proverbs 24. Please give it to us from verse 3 and 4. You will need wisdom, you will need knowledge, you will need understanding. Through wisdom, Proverbs 24 and verse 3 says, a house is built. It says, by understanding it is established. Verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Everybody say, I need knowledge. I am convinced, look at me please, I am convinced that one of the reasons why family life in many, many circles around the world continues to nosedive is because we do not pay attention to the knowledge dimension. We only pay attention to the emotional side of marriage. Now, watch this. Do you know the reason why, although there are accidents, they are minimized relative to the number of cars? Because they don't allow you to drive until you go to a driving school. Is that correct? You go to a driving school, you learn how to drive, you are certified by a driving school. It will take a while, they will test you when you go to make your driver's license. Are we together? They check you, they profile you, they make sure that you are doing well, ideally speaking now. And then eventually, they give you the access to drive. But anybody can just pick a lady from anywhere and just go anywhere. If a church rejects you, you go to a garden. If a garden rejects you, you stay at home. And quietly, you are married. And because of that, there is a lot of clash of opinions and ideas. This is very important. It's Bishop Oyedepo who said there is no new generation truth. Truth is truth. Believe me, if all you take to the table of marriage and relationship is love, you will be disappointed. Everything you hate now, you once loved. Knowledge. Marriage in today's world and relationships require more than love. There are many things that need to be put in place. You need to have understanding of who a man is, who a woman is, conflict management systems, leadership, parenting, finances. These are real issues. It doesn't mean you must know everything, but there is a level of sufficient preparation. Listen, no level of preparation and investment in marriage becomes a waste. Remember that marriage is for a lifetime. Marriage is not for 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. Marriage is not for when children come. So no matter what kind of preparation, it is very important. Is God blessing us? Family is very important. When you lose family, you have lost a major thing. You will not die, but you will be greatly affected. You can lose a job and get another one. You can lose money and have it again. You can lose your reputation and build it back. But when you lose family, you lose a lot. Are we together? We must trust God to build families that last. And the key to building families is not the emotional activities of love, love, love here and there. It's more than that. It takes knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Because the challenges that come in family are real issues that are solved only through knowledge. They are not emotional problems alone, and they require knowledge. If you are together with me, say amen. Hallelujah. For instance, the Bible gives us, you know, in all fairness, let me give you a confession. I contemplated a lot whether I would talk about family, you know, and marriage and relationships and all of that. I thought about it, but I knew that I owe you teaching you the truth of God's word, number one, and then number two, it's an uncomfortable truth, but let me tell you this, the variables in marriage are too many to learn about marriage through opinions. The variables, every married man will agree that every home is unique and there is no general template based on personal experience. And so we must be able to minimize experiences and focus on the word of God. Are we together now? Yes. And let me tell you this, and I want to submit to you truly. It is not always true that experience teaches about marriage. It is not always true. Experience is an added advantage. The major mentors in the issue of marriage in the Bible were not married themselves. God, Jesus, Paul. And yet they were the authorities that taught about marriage. This is a thing of the spirit. Are we together? I've always said a man can dwell with his wife for 30 years, hurting and destroying this dear woman's life. But just because she vowed that she will not divorce, after 30 years, they can use the template of their experience to teach that this is how to remain in marriage. It's wrong. Because the woman may have been quietly enduring pain for 30 years. The word of God is living and abiding forever. You will never go wrong with this book. Believe me when I tell you this. You will never go wrong with this book. Are we together? It's very important. Because I'm saying this because there are many young people unmarried who think that there's nothing to learn. Let me just marry and then I will start learning pragmatically. No. No. The preparation for marriage is before. There are foundational truths you should know before. You will continue learning even when you are married. Are we together? But there are truths that are foundational, unbending, and it's important for you to know. Can I just touch on two or three information? Number one, we're discussing family. Look up, please. There is nowhere in the Bible where God tells a woman to love a man. God does not instruct women to love men. The Bible tells women, wives, to respect their husbands. Because psychologically speaking, love does not mean anything to a man. But when you honor and respect that man, that is his ideal of love. Are we together now? All men, without reservation, please listen to me. No matter how emotionally appealing a woman is towards a man, if genuine respect and honor is not there, there is a violation of a foundational ordinance. It's a matter of time. There will be a repercussion. The Bible, Jesus himself, spoke a bit about marriage. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, when you read, the Bible says, wives, submit. Wives, respect. Respect. Now, let me tell you this. Please look up. It is true that honor should be for all men, but there's all kinds of nonsense flowing around society that the concept of equality is being one with Christ. But organically speaking, listen, ladies, please hear me. Organically speaking, the head of every woman is her husband. He is not the head only when he brings food. He is the head as the God knows what he built. And when he gives you a pattern, maintain it. Are we together now? The Bible clearly tells us, wives, your interpretation of love to a husband is submission and respect. That means, I hope you know the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. It didn't say he that finds a woman and makes her a wife. That means she must be a wife to be found. A wife does not happen when you are married. A wife is a mental position. Are we together now? This is a very powerful revelation. The Bible, your Bible, look up please, ladies. It means that every woman who wants to be successful in her home and every woman who wants to be successful even in a relationship must, before a man comes to your life, the assignment you should be involved with is learning submission and learning respect. Because this is the mandate upon you to your husband. As Paul began to teach the church, it will be difficult, brothers and sisters, for a woman who truly understands respect and honor and submission to have a bad marriage. It will be difficult. There is something respect does to men. It makes them vulnerable. When a woman respects a man truly, when a woman submits to a man truly and unashamedly, she makes him owe her. He will owe her honor. He will owe her care. But ladies are gradually losing it because the context of modern day society tells you, look, you know, the whole, you stand up for your right and so on and so forth, and we're corrupting God's pattern. It's a matter of time, there will be destruction. Hallelujah. Ask anybody who is from 50, 60, 70 years old and above in marriage, they will, because they've gone long enough to tell you, they will tell you sincerely that the strength of a woman is in her submission. Look up. The Bible, two books in the Bible are named after women. Ruth and Esther. Isn't it amazing that the book of Esther is not called Ahasuerus? And the book of Ruth is not called Boaz. And the books parallel themselves because the books have to do with, number one, weak women, Ruth and Hadassah. Number two, the Bible, that book has to do with great, successful and establishment, Ahasuerus and Boaz. And in both books, the strength of the women was their weakness. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It was the dexterity of Esther's submission, her wisdom, that made her to conquer her man, granted access for the promotion of Mordecai. Are we together now? And eventually stop what would have been the destruction of the Jews. There was no sword that Esther held. Yes, she killed everything. Weakness is greater than strength. Weakness is a weapon. It can do many great things. Ladies, let me tell you this. Make up your mind that you are going to preserve your family by sustaining the unashamedness to sincerely submit to your husband and to respect him. You know what respect means? To respect means to hold in high esteem. To respect means to praise. Are we together now? There is no man who will indefinitely continue to love a woman and a wife. I wrote something here. You may want to write it down. While I was preparing, the Holy Spirit just fired this to my spirit and I said, wow, this is instructive. Ready? Love in marriage is unconditional, but stability and fulfillment is highly conditional. Love in marriage is unconditional, but stability and fulfillment is highly conditional. The narrative that love, a man continues to love a woman and live with her indefinitely, regardless of what she becomes, regardless of what it looks like, is true, but there is an aspect of it that is a lie. Because coexistence is based on the principle of compatibility and understanding. Please, you have to get this. You can love someone but not want to live with the person again. Are we together now? Yes. Ladies, your biggest advantage in family life is not competing with your husband. Your biggest advantage in family life is not your becoming a CEO or you're becoming a great woman. Your biggest advantage is mastering submission. I read an article one time that was sent, a woman who was married for 80 years. Maybe some of you have seen the article. Married for 80 years, she lived, I think, up to 104 years or so and died. And she wrote an advice for the ladies of this generation. Even me, when I read what she said, I said, this thing requires the Holy Ghost. The woman wrote what 90% of you here will tear it. And yet she said that was the secret to her home of 8 years. When you want to last, prepare to last very long. Not long, very long. You cannot survive 18 years in marriage by mistake. Are you getting what I'm saying now? And the woman said, according to the article, that she literally was the one running the home. There is something I can tell you about men. I've been one all my life. I will tell you this. Men are vulnerable to honor, to respect, and to submission. Men honor those above them. They lift up those below them. They fight those who claim equality with them. What men do not want is the competition of equality. When you are higher than men, they will gladly respect you. When you are lower than them, they will gladly lift you. But when you claim equality subconsciously, you bring yourself to a position where you will attract a lot of pain. So you must obtain grace. In the name of Jesus, we want to build homes and family lives that last. And the secret is not in the vastness of information. There are a few essentials that are foundational. Submission. Now, we come from different backgrounds. I'm coming to the men, but ladies, listen to me. We come from different backgrounds that interpret weakness, interpret submission as weakness. The average lady who is submissive today is interpreted as being desperate. And they interpret as being desperate. You are not showing like you are. The very thing that is the honor of a woman is now being perceived as weakness. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And for the men, this one thing I know from scripture and from the experience of people with proven family track records, that the real needs of a woman is security and emotional fulfillment. It is true. Love, in one word, for a woman is security. Security and emotional fulfillment. Security. So every man who intends to build a home must sustain the unashamedness to communicate security and to communicate the requisite level of emotional fulfillment that will give the woman psychological strength. It will not just happen the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years of marriage. It is a principle that will last. I look at my mom today, even in her old age, and I still see and discern that craving of security and emotional fulfillment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is dangerous when men get married to women and ill-treat them like pieces of rags simply because they are now married. She's giving you 2, 3 children, and then it ends. It's the reason why people must ask the Holy Ghost to help them. Because you see, nobody has the power to stay with one person forever. You change clothes, you change hair, you change cars, you change jobs, you change everything. But now you are mandated to stay with one person for the rest of your life. It's not natural. So there will have to be a grace that continues to keep that person fresh before you, regardless of the reality of advancement in age and life and time and so on and so forth. Are we together now? Yes. I've always given this example. When you see a man of, say, 60 years or 70 years on a wheelchair, shaking because he's sick, and the wife is standing by him and saying, "My husband," at that point is no longer emotions. There has to be a grace from God that makes that woman to still love, because nobody, that scenario by default is not pleasant. Women need security. they need emotional fulfillment. That means what men should do is not just to look for wives. They should understand that if I commit myself to marriage, I'm committing myself to providing security, providing emotional fulfillment. It is true that when men provide security and emotional fulfillment, they provide for the women the fuel that drives them to be supportive, that drives them to give their best and their all towards the central purpose of that home. Gentlemen, listen to me. We must make up our minds that in the name of Jesus, all of the responsibility that we need to submit ourselves to, that make for providing security and providing the requisite level of emotional fulfillment, that you will labor under God to make that happen. This is where things like irresponsibility and the rest becomes bad. Are we together now? Yes. The motive that drives many people for marriage is very disturbing, because marriage is a lifetime thing. And anything that is not lasting will become a disadvantage eventually. I hope you are getting blessed with what I'm sharing. This is a very powerful Valentine message. So that as you are preparing, you don't just look and say, I'm not young again. My department, who is there? Or my this, or who is there? Who can I check? And I'm ready for marriage. Just because the church approves your wedding date doesn't mean you are ready for marriage. These are the things that must be in place. With all humility, you can know I'm ready for marriage. I'm ready for marriage because I'm ready to commit to providing security and providing the emotional fulfillment. I'm ready for marriage because I am ready to honor my husband sincerely. I am ready to respect. I am ready to honor him truly. Now, let me say this. The real way to be a blessing is to work on yourself. The real way to be a blessing is not expecting what will make you a blessing. It's working on yourself. I think that most times we have it the other way around. Most ladies believe that when you get that exceptional man, when you get that wonderful man, then you will be happy. Most men believe that when you get that exceptional lady, then you will be happy. Let me tell you this. It is true that the value that is built from within you becomes your advantage. I told you that love in marriage is unconditional, but stability and fulfillment is highly conditional. It will be impossible, look up please, it will be impossible for a couple that eventually are not active contributors of value to themselves to indefinitely continue to remain in joy and be happy to see themselves every day. It's not true. They will make up their mind that under every condition, this marriage will stand. But as far as joy and fulfillment is concerned, it does not just work by default. Listen, please look up. No woman should love her husband just because he brings bread to the table, just because he is visionary, just because he's making progress. However, when that man becomes visionary, when that man becomes responsible, it's easy for her knees to touch the ground, because there is a basis. Are we together now? There is a support system that encourages her honor. You cannot compare two women. On one side, you have this man who is not responsible. He doesn't care whether the rent is paid. He doesn't care whether the children are fed. All he knows is that whatever will be, will be. And then a man who is meticulously responsible. The approach of their wives to them will not be the same. The woman will say, I will love my husband forever. But you cannot say they are fulfilled at the same level. Are we together? Fulfillment and stability is based on mutual contribution of value. Please write it down. This is very powerful. That mindset of unconditional love just for nothing is going to cost many people a lot, because there are many ladies who are not doing anything about their lives. They are not growing. They are not building themselves. They are not building their minds. All they are doing is praying and expecting a visionary, born again, established man to come. Same thing happening for the men. They are not building themselves. They are not building capacity. All they are doing is praying for that wonderful lady to come. It does not work that way. What I am saying is true. You may love me as a person, but you will get fulfilled around me only based on the awareness of the value that I continue to provide for you. Is that true? Yes, sir. When it was time for Isaac to bless his sons, he said, make me venison. I know you are my son, but I need value to come from you to gladden my heart so that something can lead me to you. Are we together? Now look up, please. As the bride of Christ, we are all his bride. He will never deny you. But in terms of usability, we are not the same. Are we together now? Do you agree with that? That God can almost seem to abandon one person and come and stand and invest his attention on another. Why? Because of your commitment to advancing his purposes. The sacrifices you have made to build yourself spiritually. That every time you show up in a place, you allow so much of God to find expression. And God has noted you for being so useful for the kingdom. And so he will guard you. He will protect you. This is how it is. No man will indefinitely be proud of his wife forever for nothing. No woman will indefinitely be proud of her husband for nothing. These are hard truths that many will not tell you. But listen, your love will remain regardless of what happens. But your fulfillment and the stability of your home will be predicated upon the mutual awareness of the value that you provide. This is true. All staff are staff in a company. But there is promotion even within that company. And for every promotion, there are many benefits that come with it. Someone can start from level 1 and in 10, 15 years be at the same level. This happens psychologically. A man can promote his wife in his mind psychologically. She's still his wife. He still loves her. But the depth of honor and committal continues to change. Every time she's an unfolding of wonder, she continues to be an epitome of value. And one day the man will stand and say, Lord, thank you for giving me such a woman. That's how you know you are valuable. So away with that idea that my husband will marry me and no matter what happens, the Bible says he should love me. You are right. But you will still feel the heat of being valueless. Same thing happens to the man. You cannot say, well, I've married, I've paid a dowry, and that's all. You will be surprised at how draggy and grudgy and sad your marriage will be. There will still be love, but there will not be fulfillment. Fulfillment in marriage is highly conditional. I love all the workers in this ministry. You are precious people and you know that I love you with all my heart. But in all fairness, the level and the extent of contribution at an individual level is not the same. Are we together now? That means that the trust level and many other factors will not be the same. God loves everybody the same, but he does not trust everybody the same. Value is first virtue. Then skill. Listen, every time we talk of value, don't just think skill. Ladies, don't just think of the ability to cook food alone and the ability to do all. No. Your skill comes later. The real value of a person is your virtue. What is your virtue? Your closeness to the character of Christ. We must continue to fight and contend for growth non-stop. Every day, I want to become a better version of me. Listen, A lady here must challenge herself, married or not. You must tell yourself, I will be so exceptional and so virtuous that my husband will look at me and say, thank God for this gift of God given to me. Same thing with the men, that your wife will look at you tomorrow and say, thank God for giving me this gift. Virtue. No matter how gifted you are, if you do not have virtue and character, you will not go far. Are you getting what I'm saying now? This is very important. Virtue is a measure of your closeness to Christ. I always give this analogy that if virtue and skill run in sprint, skill will win. But if virtue and skill run a marathon, virtue will win. A day will come when your skill will fail you, but it is your virtue that will keep you. You will get to places in your life where everybody you meet is equally skillful. Your edge will be your virtue. You will get to a point where everybody is brilliant. Every man of God is anointed. Every woman of God is skilled. Your real virtue. See, I have seen the power of virtue, the lifting power of virtue. There are businessmen today who have won contracts worth hundreds of millions of naira and dollar, not necessarily because of their skill, but something about the life of their wife, their children, or their husband. You make that company say, no, you are the kind of people we want to work with. You are cautious. You are very respectful. Ladies, go back and pray. My dear brothers, go back and pray. Thank God for skill, but keep skill and cry and say, Lord, make me exceptional. Being exceptional is like a magnet. It's true. There are many skillful people that are not virtuous. You get to a point where in your managerial rise, company-wise, in terms of your career, you will get to a point where it's not just by your skill and technical and intellectual qualification that you rise again. You get to a point where your edge and your advantage becomes the love, the manner. There are people today, you know, I met a man, great man, wealthy man, and I saw a wonderful person that was a chef to him, and I asked, and I asked that question. I said, how did you get this person? And he looked at me and laughed and said, this is one of the nicest elderly woman. This is one of the nicest women in the world. And it's true. When the woman came in, within minutes, I had fallen in love with this wonderful woman. Elderly woman, and her the level of character and manner and cautiousness in speaking, the body language of respect and honor is almost flattering. I said, my God, where did this woman learn this? That is virtue. There are women, visitors come to your house and they vow never to come again. Why? Not because you don't have skill, but you lack character. There are men, people do business once with you and vow that they will never, because you are, there is no temperance, there is no patience, there is no joy, there is no self-control. All of these virtues, they are powerful. The world is looking for the fruit of the Spirit in men, even when they know they don't have it. Is God blessing us tonight? Yes, sir. Make sure that you make up your mind that I will be virtuous. I will be virtuous. Virtue is not for women. So men, when we are talking of virtue, don't think and say, I hope this lady is hearing. No. Be exceptional. Look at me. Conquer the limitation of pride. Conquer the limitation of your territory. Ladies, make up your mind and vow before God that I will be an exceptional woman. That because of me, people will love and honor my husband. Husbands, make up your mind that I will be a man of solid character. That because of me, they will love. Do you know, lack of character is what is programming disaster for many children. Many of us today, our parents were exceptionally skillful, but they were not virtuous. And there are doors that would have cheaply opened today that are closed. When you are thinking family life, don't think yourself. Think about your children. Think about their 10 years. Think about their 20 years. I do not want a situation where my children will not have an opportunity to enjoy a great life because of me. And people will say, oh, you are apostle's child. No. Whether spiritually or physically, is the reason why we continue to strive by God's grace to create that ladder so that anybody who follows through that ladder already has a road created. Praise the Lord. It is my commitment in ministry, biologically, and so on and so forth, that anyone who is connected to this vision and this grace, that by God's grace, through our sacrifice, that you will be able to climb on it, that every time you are purported to be connected to this grace, it will open doors for you. This is the prayer. This is the desire. But it will not happen by default. And it's not always the issue of anointing. Fetch me. Can you lay hands on your head in 1 minute and say, Lord, change what needs to change in my life. Please pray. Change what needs to change in my life. I'm not ashamed, oh God, before you. Pray.
I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want.
Please make sure you are praying.
Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. I'm open, yeah, before you, Lord. Do to me what you want.
Pray, Lord, make me exceptional. If you're a dear lady, pray. Lord, I'm tired of just having skills. Certificate should not be the only thing I'm bringing to my home. Grant me the grace to be exceptional, that my life will not close the door for my husband, that my life will not close the door for my wife. I obtain grace of God from heaven to be exceptional. Regardless of my background, grant me grace. Someone is praying, grant me grace. I cry to you, O God of heaven, grant me grace. Supernatural grace by the Spirit.
Listen, please sit down. Look at me. You must train yourself. Fetch me. Make up your mind. When you dress, dress well. When you speak, speak well. Don't see people and look and say, how far? And you are bending somebody. You are not virtuous. You may be human, but you are not virtuous. How many leaders do you want God to bring in your life with this kind of attitude? Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't get up in the morning and pass people anyhow. Good morning. How are we? Fine. God bless you. How is today? Don't see people and pass and say, please, you greeted me. Whether I answer, no. There is no such thing as I am like that. Men can change. Are we together? There is no such thing as I'm angry. We are in our family, we are like that. Hey, whilst I am angry, even my parents give me chance. If bad, change it. That's, the house of God is a place of transformation. Please take seriously what I'm saying. Listen, I continue to pray and ask the Lord to reveal to me the aspects of my life. I'm not ashamed of transition. I'm not ashamed of transformation. That what I am not today, I can be tomorrow. Lord, show me. Thank God for the ones I have, but which ones do I not have? Some of you need to work on respect. Some of you need to work on honor. You don't have honor for people at all. Some of us, you need to work on your mouth. Your mouth is poisonous. It's like a sword. You can tear down people. It's something to work on. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Some of you need to work on the fortitude for jealousy. Little things, the moment you see a celebration somewhere and it's not you, the senior brother of the prodigal son. Hallelujah.
Some of you give up very easily. Listen, if you don't love yourself, it's wickedness to want another person to love you. Why should someone love what you hate? Are we together now? Learn to draw your confidence from within. First, who you are in Christ. And then second, on the strength of the dexterity of your virtue. Listen, you can stamp your feet with all humility as a man and as a woman and say, by the grace of God, the God of heaven, I know we are growing, but I can stand to say I'm virtuous. It's not pride. I told myself, and many of you who follow my teachings, you've heard me say it. My life's goal, aside from being a man of God, sincerely speaking, my life's goal as a person is that God will grant me the grace that I will become a shoulder for many to lean on. It is a goal and it is a worthy pursuit in my life. I want to be that person who is the first to wrap my hands around people and say, God bless you, you can make it. I want to be the one that when somebody dies, I'm the first person to show up and hold you and say, don't worry. Not to say, where was your faith? Where did you keep? No. Make up your mind that in this life, you will be virtuous. Don't just sit and say, why do men not like me? Why is this? It's not just an issue of attack, and it's not just an issue of miracle service. Could this be where the issue is? Make up your mind. I've taught you, you can measure your virtue by how much children love you. If children hate you, believe me, something is wrong. Do you know why? Let me tell you this. Because children will test your patience. Children will force you to stoop down. You see how this, my children, sometimes after service, while all of you are standing wanting to see the apostles, they don't care. They just come and sometimes they say, daddy, bend your ear and I say, look at this. But it's training and I'm happy. It's better to rehearse through them than to mess up in the future. Are we together? Virtue. Character. You see people, you greet people. You do something wrong, you say, I'm sorry. What is it? Just in. You love people. Your words are cultured. You don't speak anyhow and talk anyhow and say, I'm just like that. No. There is intelligence. Through wisdom, the house is built. By understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled. Is God blessing us? I will soon go to the next aspect. But listen to this. It's a profitable way of celebrating Valentine. It is not saying, oh God, let somebody send me a gift. God is giving all of us a Valentine gift. And the Valentine gift is sit down. Sit down and walk on your spirit. Are we together? Yeah. It's better than a timeout. Because what you do will build you and make you exceptional. Nobody runs away from an individual with such an outspoken manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. You become, like I would say, Pula and Hephzibah. There are people who have no regard for elders. No regard at all. You secure the cause of every old person around you because you do not have that virtue of respect. I continue to strive as a person for grace from God. I want to be as exceptional as I can be. As far as I'm concerned, compared to where I'm going, I'm just starting. I will find them out. I will pray them. I will study them until it becomes true in my life. My only advantage should not be anointing. My only advantage should not be revelation. You will eventually be the description of God's idea of a man. Can someone have that desire this morning? That you will be exceptional. Listen, set a high standard for yourself Don't just mark your script on an average and set a high standard. When people are saying you are exceptional, you are, don't be carried away by those things. Lord, still work on me. In the area of respect, I'm trying, but I score myself with my reference. I give myself 20%. I still need to read a book. I need to go online. I need to study something about character. And you go online and download a message and look at it. I need to learn on this. And you are praying. Okay, let me study Esther and let me study Ruth. What was exceptional about these women? Let me study David. Let me study Solomon. Let me study Isaac. And you are building yourself. Lord, make me an exceptional person. Forget about what is not yet there. Focus on what God is doing. Let me tell you, it's only a matter of time. The world will look at you and within a second. Was it not the preparation of Esther that made her exceptional? She passed Ahasuerus once. There are times that your destiny will not allow you to pass twice. So you have to prepare as though that once is the only time. Please pray 1 minute again. Lord, I obtain grace to be an exceptional personality. In the name of Jesus, I conquer the limitations of my background. Some of us come from families where we have not seen the best model of family life. But in the name of Jesus, I make my family life my priority. I make it my priority. And in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, I obtain grace from God. I obtain grace from heaven. I'd like you to pray that in Koinonia, we are building families that are exceptional. In the name of Jesus, no matter what your limitation is today, that your 10 years, your 5 years, your 20 years is full of glory, grace, honor, a message and a lesson for the world to see. Exceptional in every way. Someone is praying. Whether you are in a relationship or not, whether you are married or not, lift your voice and pray. Lord, make me. Don't say make my husband. Don't say make my wife. Don't say make my spouse. Pray for yourself. Work on me. Work on my character. Work on that jealousy. Work on that anger. Work on that impatience. Lord, I am not ashamed. This is a threshing floor. I'm not ashamed to be walked upon. Man may laugh at you while God is working on you, but you just continue. It may not be my fault. It may be the background that I came from. It may be the experience I was exposed to. But in the name of Jesus, I kill every excuse. I must be exceptional. I make my family life a priority. Someone is praying. My children will be proud of me. They will call me the first representation of God that they can see. Build in me the fruit of the Spirit. Build in me virtue. Build in me patience. Take away anger. Take away folly from my life. Give me wisdom. Make me outstanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I found out if you focus on changing you, God will settle every other thing. Usually, the key is to want your spouse to change. The key is to want your whoever you are going out with to change. But the key really is you. The more you change, you begin to provoke changes around you. It's a principle. Stop sitting down and reporting your spouse to God and reporting your spouse to everybody and saying, this man, after I gave him 5 children, is not. Yes, it may be wrong, but find a reason to change. There is a way you become so exceptional, it becomes unfair for life to give you certain things. Listen, ladies, let me tell you. There is a way you will work on yourself and build yourself. It becomes unfair, in all honesty, for certain kinds of people to come to you. Don't sit down where you are and say, I can't marry this kind of person. Me, I'm this. By what standard? Same thing with the men. You can't sit down where you are and just say, I believe that only A, B. No, sir. Work on yourself. When it is respect, you are there. Character, you are there. Wisdom in communication, you are there. diplomacy, you are there. Leadership, you are there. Hard work and diligence, you are there. Patience and temperance, forbearance and forgiveness, you are there. You gather these virtues and they make you exceptional. That is the inner beauty the Bible talks about. Greater than outward beauty. Greater than outward six-pack and being a macho man. Real virtue that lasts. Your face will wrinkle with time. Your hair will fall with time. But your virtue remains seated. You will thank me for what you are hearing. It may not make sense now, but be exceptional and see. It's not only your husband that will celebrate you. I promise you, the whole world will stand before you. Whether you are a counselor or not, whether you are a mentor or not, they will come to you and say, I want to be like you. I have observed your life and observed that you are an exceptional woman. Here is $1,000. Here is $500. Can you pray for me? Whatever made you exceptional, you cannot carry nonsense around the world to celebrate you. I do not want people to only come and celebrate the anointing and celebrate revelation. There should be more. And so I challenge you to join me in that strife. Of dissatisfaction. Do not clap to anyone. Go back home and write a list of the things you must work on. Don't be ashamed. See, let me tell you, the moment you become ashamed of growth, you will never rise to certain levels. I do not want to meet the kings of my destiny and have a reason to be ashamed because I had anointing, I had revelation, but no virtue. That the opening of your mouth becomes a communication of wisdom. Some of you, impatience has cheated you. Some of us, anger has cheated us. Some of us, foolishness, lack of wisdom alone. Identify those things and pray them. If you need to read books, buy books. Jordan is here. Get books. You can go on YouTube. That is the legitimate ground to load your phone and go on YouTube and say, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to study about exceptional women, exceptional men. And you pray it in your heart, and God looks at you. It's not your fault. You came from a background where your father was not the best model of a man. Your mother was not the best model of a woman. Maybe it was even a polygamous family. Maybe it was even a dysfunctional family somewhere. You can't be crying forever because of yesterday. You must summon the courage to say, look, what I did not eat, may my children eat. The joy they did not have. If you succeed in ministry and fail in family, you fail. If you succeed in your office and fail in family, you fail. Are we together? The last, and we're done for tonight. I pray that what I'm sharing tonight will be worth your time here. The third most important priority in your life is your assignment. Just give me a few minutes and we'll pray we're done for tonight. Your assignment asks us the question, why? Remember the first, your relationship with God. Remember the second, your family. Remember the third, your assignment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus. I love the word of God.
Let every other name fade away. Let every other name fade away. Until there's only you. Then said I, lo, I come.
This is a prophecy about Jesus. In the volume of the book. Look at me, Koinonia. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I didn't come to roam around the earth. escorting people in destiny for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and leading sad to the grave. Dr. Miles Munro in his lifetime said, the richest place is not the gold mine in South Africa, not the oil mines in the east. That the richest place, the wealthiest place, is the cemetery where dreams that were never lived are there. Where destinies, books that were never written, lives that would have been changed. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. Write this down, please. Your greatest fulfillment will come from knowing that you have lived your life serving the purposes of God and blessing humanity. I will take it again. Your greatest fulfillment will come from knowing. Your greatest fulfillment will come from knowing that you have lived your life serving the purposes of God and blessing humanity. Your greatest fulfillment will not come from cars. Truly, I tell you, it will not come from houses. It will not come from your ascending the highest echelon of your profession, as good as that is. Your greatest fulfillment will come from knowing that you lived your life serving the purposes of God and blessing humanity. The morning I was in Delta State, I think, when Dr. Miles Munro went to be with the Lord, when the announcement of his death happened, he was headed for a conference somewhere in the region of Bahamas. And then they announced that he was dead, his wife was dead, his assistant dead, most of the people, about six of them dead. Do you know Dr. Burroughs, who now heads the Bahamas Faith Ministry International? He looked and he said, continue the conference. He said, if Miles Munro were alive, he would say, never cry for me. So let's do what you would have wanted. I said, my God. Men who cheated death, they were so visionary. When he died, they checked his documents and they saw different books that were still in progress. And some of those books have come out now. Abel, though dead, yet speaketh. These are men who cheated death. Listen, let me tell you, you can immortalize your impact. You can choose impact to popularity. Popularity is not the same as impact. Popularity is many people knowing about you. Impact is men being changed because you are alive. Do not mistake popularity for impact. Thank God for popularity, but I will give it up 1,000 times for impact. Listen, many of us right now, God is speaking to you and say, get back to where I started with you. I started with you. There are dreams that have died. Many of you, the way God started with you, the Spirit of God continues to cry. It is important to find your purpose before marriage. It is important to find your purpose before money. Because all these things, as powerful as they are, they can tilt you out of purpose. The first dealing of God in my life was purpose. Then the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then the kingdom. Then finances. Then it continued like that. I thank God for that sequence. Purpose. The first major book I can remember reading was Discovering Your Purpose. Miles Munro. I read that book and I remember crying. I said, Lord, I would die empty. 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 Why should I live full? Completely empty, like a drink offering. You pour your life. Sometimes when people see me and say, Apostle, are you not tired? I say, at this age, while I have the strength to move, I will move. While I have the strength to talk, I will talk. I will give my best, because someday I will not have that strength. Someday it will be our children reading our legacy. When they look, they'll say, once upon a man, a time there was a man called Apostle Joshua Selman. We should be able to look from heaven and be proud of what we did. You are not called to do everything, but you are called to do something serious. And it is, listen, you have to make up your mind to wake up on this Valentine night and say, in the name of Jesus, I will have to wake up to my destiny. Every time I come for Koinonia, as soon as I come out of the car, I look at all the people and sometimes tears fill my eyes. When I travel to go for ministrations, and sometimes you cannot imagine how tired I am, I just stand and I pray. I say, Lord, I don't even have the time to pray. Just show me your mercy and show me your grace. Visit your people. Thank God the message I've prepared. Sometimes I do not even have the time to revise it and all of that. I just say, Lord, I give you all the praise. And sometimes I am so tired and I'm tempted to say, what is all this about? Then I just remember, spending your life bringing glory to His Majesty. This is what we do. You don't have to be in ministry to do it. It's a mindset that is bigger than looking for money. It's a mindset that is bigger than looking for fame. Fame is important, but it's mundane when it stands side by side with impact. If nobody knows you, listen, Methuselah lived about 767 or 69 years or so. 969. And nobody can remember anything about him. And Jesus lived for 33 and a half years. And the world cannot forget him. There was a woman called Anna the prophetess. The Bible does not tell us so much, except that her assignment was to stay in the temple and pray Jesus from heaven to earth. And when she saw it, she said, now let my soul find rest. I have seen the consolation of Jesus. Listen, you know your impact by the vacuum you create when you are not there. If nobody misses your absence, it means your presence is not a blessing. This is true. Purpose gives meaning and value to everything you do. Write it down, please. Purpose gives meaning and it gives value to everything you do. Marriage has a purpose. Money has a purpose. Children have a purpose. Prosperity has a purpose. Let me tell you, the real issue with this our generation is that most of our desires are not connected to purpose. We want to marry for marriage sake. We want to make money for the sake of respect and pride. We want a name for ourselves. Most times people come, I want anointing. What is the purpose tied to it? Purpose is what gives your pursuit for money. It is purpose that makes your pursuit of money not materialism. Because now there is an object behind it. Every time you want to do anything in life, ask yourself why, to what end? Acts chapter 26. Let's look at Paul's manifesto of his purpose. We're going to read the first 18 verses. Be patient with me. We're rounding up. Then Agrippa, this was Paul before Agrippa. Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for yourself. And then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. Read on. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, as touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know you are an expert in this and that. Go to verse 7. Verse 7, please. It says, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, you know, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Right? Read on. It says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Now, he's talking about his history now. Are we together? Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. This is the past of a man. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, everybody look at this, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. We're reading to 19. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I had a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. What is the purpose? To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I shall send thee, to open their eyes. It's an assignment. And to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, that's my prayer for you, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Listen, every time you do not live out your assignment, you cost someone. Somebody's destiny will suffer when you do not rise to what God has ordained for you to do. Are we together? What is your purpose and your assignment? Your contribution to kingdom advance. The role you have been mandated to play in that Thy Kingdom Come project. That universal project of the spearheading of the influence and the power of God. Now please look up. Not everybody, as far as purpose is concerned, will have a pioneering grace. Not everybody will be a general overseer. Not everybody will be a man of God. Not everybody will be an apostle, a prophet, and all of that. But your assignment is to find your role. It doesn't necessarily mean you must have a platform to your name. The most important thing is your role, the role that you have to play. Let me tell you, there are many purposeless people that continue to loiter around the face of the earth, waiting for either a job or marriage or geographic relocation to give them a sense of meaning in their lives. Make up your mind. Lord, what did you bring me here to the earth for? I cannot be escorting people all around. For others, God can tell you like Moses, I've raised you to be a savior. For others, God can raise you like Aaron and say, hold the hands of Moses while he performs that function. For others, you will be the 70 elders that his spirit will come upon. For others, you will be the Joshuas. For others, you will be the Esthers who need to rise to the throne. Esther's assignment was first marriage. Her victory was dependent on marriage. Have you seen that now? That is the reason why it is important to find out purpose before marriage. Because if you now find out that your purpose contradicts what you are now doing, you are in trouble. God will have to make do with what is there. Is God blessing someone here? Our society is full of idle people. They wake up in the morning and they do not do anything. And I say this respectfully, especially for the gentlemen. There is nothing that pinches my heart like seeing a young, vibrant gentleman confused and wallowing in purposelessness, strolling around in the morning not knowing where you are going. There is nothing that is worth your waking up. There is nothing that is worth your sitting down. What are your plans for today? Nothing. Is there anything for me? Okay, let's go out. And you can't live your life like that. You close your eyes, you find out you are 40 years. Close your eyes again, you are 50 years. Close the last one, you are 60 years. Listen, every time I celebrate my birthday, it is this one vision. I have my piles of books from the time God began to speak to me, and I open them. Lo, I come. It is why when I sit down, sometimes when I sleep, I just get up at you, Saman. You have messages to prepare. There are lives that need to be changed. Stand up quickly. There is work to be done. Oh, there's some prayers to do because there is a meeting to attend and there are destinies depending on you. Shabakatusia. Change them, oh God. Lay your hands and say, Lord, show me, reveal to me. What is my role in your program? I'm tired of escorting people up and down, left, right, and center, and not finding a basis for fulfillment. Someone is praying. What is my role in your program? Listen, look up. A few things and then we are going to pray. Please look up. Did you know that your assignment is divided into seasonal mandates? Do not forget this. Your assignment is divided into seasonal mandates. There are people who are workers in this ministry today, but the grace upon them, tomorrow they are going to have their churches. Tomorrow they are going to have their parishes. But in this season, their assignment is to be faithful as far as working and learning is concerned. Are you seeing that now?
Yes.
Nothing gladdens my heart when I have to talk with the workers and sometimes I see the leaders and I see them committed in doing something that is worth it. Listen, it's a cost to wake up in the morning and not have a justification for spending your day. You wake up in the morning, nothing to do. So what's my today about? I don't know. You watch movie, you go on internet, you come back and watch movie, you go on internet, you read a book, gossip here and there, sit down, eat food, go out, come back in the evening, yawn yourself to sleep. It's a useless life. You must make up your mind. Visionary people have to beg sleep to wait. Sleep, wait. Give me 2 more hours. Because what is burning in my spirit? Do you know sincerely? Let me tell you. There are times I wake up in the morning and the last thing I can remember is, okay, I woke up, maybe I went to bed by 5. I wake up around 9 and I'm busy. And the next thing I'm checking and it's 9 in the evening. And I'm like, my God, what in the world is this? What in the world is this? I have so much to do. Before you finish learning and writing and praying and doing all of that, you want to pray, you close your eyes, time is gone. But for many of you, because of lack of vision, you pray for 5 minutes, there is no burden on you. Are we together? Nothing that compels your prayer. Lord, I thank you. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the Rose of Sharon. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for my loved ones. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Of course, that's all if you are not a visionary person. But there are times that praying for koinonia alone can take you a whole day. You take the departments one by one. Lord, worship team. Give them songs from heaven. Give them visions from heaven. Take another department. Before you do 3, the whole day has gone. That food is kept in front of you and you cannot even remember that there is food in front of you. If there is nothing that has that grip and that obsession on you, it's a sign you are not living a visionary life. Believe me when I tell you, after service now, I'm seeing people here, when I go back home, it's not sleep. Oh. Sleep? I receive an average of 500 to 600 text messages every day. Aside from calls. And some of them are you. And you are angry that I don't respond to it. Right now, my phone is never off. Never. Never. Except maybe they are removing the battery or something. Maybe changing SIM or something. It is never off. Because of the noise. Of the pressure and the burden of ministry. The last time I had music from my phone, like ringtone, was 2012. I put my phone on silent permanently till tomorrow. What do you think ministry is? What do you think leadership is? God is just lifting them. Please receive grace to be serious. In the name of Jesus Christ. 11 o'clock, you're already sleeping. The last thing God told you to do 2 years ago is still there. You've not developed it. You are not reading any book. I hope you are not angry. No book on your table, nothing on your laptop. I check your phone and all I see is just browsing and gisting. You mean you don't do any other thing? Please receive grace to settle down. There are some of you, what you need to do now, the 5,000 God blessed you with, use 2,001 by CDs and settle down. Make up your mind. I will not sleep. I will not wake up later than 8 o'clock for no reason again. Buy an alarm clock in the market. Are we together? Myself, you must be disciplined for the sake of your destiny. Myself, you must be disciplined. This unnecessary hunger that distracts, tell yourself in the name of Jesus, I'm not fasting, but I will buy a drink. Food, be disciplined. The Sabbath was created for man. And you study. Okay, today I'm studying on faith, and you don't let any devil distract you. You are reading on faith. You listen to three. Do you know there are people who are not even workers here? They listen to an average of 3 to 5 koinonia messages. I listen to an average of 3 koinonia messages every day without fail. I'm the one that preached it all, and I listen to it again with my heart open. There are things, if I do not do in a day, my eyes will not see sleep. Please listen, I'm opening up my heart so that we'll be serious. This thing is not luck. You don't get the anointing just by wish. No. You don't grow into dimension by saying a season just came. Do you know the amount of prayer investment it takes to really carry power? Spiritual power that works. There are weeks that I have an average, it happens most time in January. There was a time I had 18 sermons in 1 week. And you must prepare them. My brothers and my sisters, I destroy the spirit of laziness from your life this night. And I pray for you that one of the things you will learn in this Valentine, some of you, God is calling you into the area of business, but you will not sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Buy books. Read. I gave us 3 books to read. Some of you don't even, you've not even seen how the cover looks like. It's carelessness. When I'm traveling, whether it's to Abuja or anywhere, or almost all through the journey, it is worship and a sermon and something. I don't have that time to waste. I may be as sleepy as whatever, but I'm listening. I can't waste 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm either charging my spirit in worship, or I'm listening to something. Listen, life is time tagged. You will not always have the energy and the time. And there is a time when you should have prepared and built certain capacities. Whether you are ready or not, life will open the stage. So build capacity now. Don't you know that when you get married, you may not have that time to pray the way you want again, because you are now under an authority. No matter how prayerful you are. So now that you have the luxury to roll on the ground, thank God. Don't just keep saying, Lord, when will my husband come? Let me build capacity. I don't know what it means to pray when you are pregnant. I don't know what it means to pray when you pray now. Eat, for the journey is far. There are men, you don't know what it means to serve God with pressure of school fees. So now that you are alone, you are not paying anybody school fees. You will write sermons today that you will use for the next 10 years. There are messages I still go back and make reference to them. I wrote some of those messages sometimes 2004, 2005, 2006. I just develop them and build on them. Something must consume your heart. Something must burn within your spirit. Whether you are a man of God or not, Apostle, this is the goal I've set this year. What are you doing? I want to become a town expert. Tell me what you are doing now for it. Nothing. One day, I'm sure that Koinonia will organize training of town people. That is the language of carelessness and laziness. I want to become an exceptional mother. I believe it is a call. Show me what book you are reading. Show me the exceptional people. I want to have a great foundation today that will raise great women and great. Show me what model you are studying now. I should come and meet you walking. When you are visionary, it's easy to say no to many things. Ah, Apostle, can I come and visit you? I'm sorry, I'm busy. But you cannot, you can't sit down. People come and say, borrow me your television and your TV. Let me play a movie. Because you are free. Completely free. I have taught you, receive grace to master the night. This night time is a good time to sleep, but it's also a good time to make spiritual investments. I can tell you this. For some reason, the spirit of revelation is heavy upon men in the night. When people slumber around and you are just walking around and just saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the next level. This year now that there's a lot of expansion and a lot going on in ministry, you cannot tell, I travel, I return, I'm tired, there are things I'm praying. Lord, let's make sure that we're walking with your will. There's a department to meet, there are people to meet, there's a this and that and that. No laziness. You can't be eating, and you sit down, you sleep, you get up. When you are truly idle, you become the devil's workshop. I hope you know purpose is not looking for money. Except if looking for money leads to purpose. Purpose is finding that which can bring impact in the lives of men. That's purpose. Looking for food to eat is not purpose. Except if my purpose of eating it is to find the energy to fulfill God's assignment. Please, everybody, write. Lord, reveal to me my assignment in this season. Go and pray it as a prayer point. Reveal to me, oh God, my assignment. Imagine if Bishop Oyedepo did not find his place in destiny. Imagine if Papa Iyadeboye did not find his place in destiny. Imagine if fathers like W.F. Kumuyi did not find their place in destiny. Imagine if there were no Benny Hinn. Imagine if there were no T.L. Osborne. Imagine the world without these men. Imagine the world without men like Nelson Mandela. I made up my mind that I would give my best for God and for this generation. Let it be that I did my best. My best, Lord, is everything I am. My best, Lord, I give all I have to you. My best, Lord, is all I have to give. My best, Lord, I give all I have to you. I wrote this song many years ago as a commitment. It was a vow and a covenant. Lord, if I die doing what I'm doing, then it is with honor that I died for you. For me now to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's not a confession, it's true. That's why I don't panic. I'm already dead. Dead people don't die twice. It is appointed unto men to die once. I will spend this life God has given me serving. You do not know the honor that I have serving this generation and serving the purposes of God. The greatest thank you is not an alert. The greatest thank you is not faith. It's not a need. The greatest thank you is, Apostle, thank God you were born. That because of you, my life is changed. Because of you, my father is saved. Because of you, I found direction. Sometimes I hold those things. I'm not a very emotional person, but tears just come down my eyes. And I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for making me a gift to this generation. You can be Barabbas. You can be Jesus. The choice is yours. You can be the two thieves standing, hanging on the cross, or you can be Jesus. I made up my mind that I will give God and this generation my best. He gave his best for me. I will give my best for him. So when you see me travel and you see me do the things that I do, oh dear generation, hear me. It is not because we are necessarily exceptional. There is a fire that burns from within us. It is the fire to see the globe set ablaze. We will set this generation on fire in a way that has not been seen. We will contribute our quota to kingdom come. And when all is said and done, we will stand like the fathers who have gone ahead of us and salute the earth and make sure that we leave a legacy that outlives us. And then we'll wave the earth goodbye with honor. Be wise in your living. Don't live like a fool. Live as though time is passing. You've celebrated 5 birthdays in purposelessness. From the time God started nudging you, wake up. Wake up. Arise, thou that sleepest. It is time to wake up. God is calling you to be a kingdom financier. You don't become a kingdom financier at 70. It's not a blessing. So go and buy all the books on finances. Not for the purpose of having money. For the purpose of having the tools that it will take to minister. Oh, Apostle, God is calling me to be a man of God. That's not the time to loiter around looking for invitations. That's the time to fast when others are not fasting. That's the time to pray when people are sleeping. Not, Apostle, they should give me Bible study in one church. Pray that my pastor will see me. No. That's the time to settle down. Premature manifestation will kill you. God tells you your assignment is to be a man of God's wife. That's not the time to say, where is he? What is your business? You stay and build yourself. Lord, I will need patience. I obtain grace. God tells you are going to be an evangelist traveling around the world. You should be casting the demons that God's name crash. You should be praying. What do you mean by there's nothing to do? You settle down and pray. Lord, in advance, I prophesy to the partners that will have to stand by me. May I not be stranded because of finances. Let it not be that while I'm preaching the gospel, my children don't have their school fees paid. I receive the spirit of revelation. I need to preach 2 or 3 messages per day. I obtain grace from God. I will be persecuted in ministry. I will be misunderstood in ministry. Lord, build my capacity now so that when those times come, I will not be distracted.
My best, Lord, is everything I have. My best, Lord, I give all I have to you. You made me great. You made me special. You made me great. I give all I have to you. You made me great. You made me special. You made me great. I give all I have to you. My best, Lord, is everything I have. My best, Lord, I give all.
Many things will come to clamor for your attention, but I show you the things that really matter. When all is said and done, it is God, family, destiny, not crowd. They will come and go. They will say, give us bread today, King of the Jews, and they will say, crucify you tomorrow. I show you what is necessary and unnecessary. Valentine is only useful when wisdom is added to you. If all you do is to eat and receive presents as good as it is, and you do not have an opportunity to grow destiny-wise, you are not making progress. I prayed over this and I asked the Lord that when I teach it, it will mean something to someone, that you can make up your mind. Some of you will need to go home this night and just sit up outside with a notebook and start writing things. Lord, why am I here? Show me the scripture that represents the anthem of my life. I cannot wait for marriage to define my relevance. I can't sit down waiting for a man to appear in my life so that I will find what I'm here for. Lord, why was I born? And you pray from the depth of your heart. Lord, you have called me to be a man of God. What do I need to learn? What dimension of ministry are you giving me? And God says, I've called you to be a prophet. I've called you to be an evangelist. And you get books about the prophetic ministry. And you are praying. I've called you to the ministry of health. And you begin to study. Lord, give me patience. Give me forbearance. Give me the grace to love people. Oh, I'm calling you to be a great pastor. Lord, give me the heart of a shepherd. The grace to love people, whether they love me back or not. You are preparing for destiny. Are you ready to pray? Please rise up. Hold the hands of someone. We are going to pray.
My best Lord, everything I have, my best Lord, I give all I have to you, my best Lord, is everything I have, my best. I give all I have to you. You made me great. You made me special. You made me great. I give all I have to you.
Prayer point number one. Lord, anything that will steal your place in my life, cut it out of my life now. Please lift your voice and pray. Whatever will take your place in my life, what shall separate us from the love of God? Strengthen my spiritual connection. Oh God of heaven, strengthen my spiritual connection. That in life and death, I will serve you all my life. Nothing will take me from you. Let nothing take the hunger, O God. Let nothing steal the passion, O God. Is someone praying? Ara sala shalanda sala katosia. Prayer point number two. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. Now listen. Whether you are married or not, our time is gone. But for the sake of God and for the sake of your family, whether here or not, I want you in the next 2 minutes to cry. Married or not, Lord, I pray for my wife. I pray for my husband. I pray for my children. Prophesy and declare. I decree and declare that my family life will work. Someone is prophesying. Model families, in the name of Jesus, exceptional homes by the Spirit of the living God, homes that are a replica of heaven, all wise. Please pray. Pray for your children, born and unborn. I prophesy ahead over them. Champions, warriors, men of fire, women of grace. I separate them from the weaknesses of territory, from the weaknesses of background, from the limitations of ancestry. I cut them away from the limitations of pride and geographic territory. I graft them into a new order, a new spirit, a new tribe. Someone is praying. Pray, O
over your children. Zaparus Kabarakatos Nekata. They are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. Pray for your home. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commands. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Pray, pray for yourself. Lord, make me a man of character. Make me a woman of character. Exceptional, exceptional. A dispensing of the virtue of heaven. Regardless my background, regardless my past, regardless my limitations. If someone prays, I obtain grace. Exceptional, grace, exceptional. An exceptional man, an exceptional woman, skilled and virtuous, valuable, a contributor to the growth of my home. Hallelujah. Now listen, please. We are still praying for family. I'd like you to pray. Lord, my children must be better than me. They must be greater than me. My children will never be the worst version of me. Where I failed, may they not fail. Where I could not cross, may they cross. Someone is praying. Be selfless enough to pray. May my children become extensions of my legacy. Please prophesy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to pray. Listen, there are many of us, you cannot move forward even with regards to family life, because when you look at your background, dysfunctional family, you look at your past, it's not a testimony that you desire. You look at the future, it looks bleak, and you allow the devil fool you into thinking you will become just like your parents. You are going to cancel it. There is a new grace, a new wine, a new covenant. I love my parents, I honor them, but where they failed, Lord, I obtained the grace of an eagle to rise and move past it. Lift your voice and pray. Pray. Growing up, I saw poverty. Lord, may I be the one to change it. Growing up, I saw limitations. I obtained grace to change it by the Spirit. I'm a sign and a wonder. A sign and a wonder. Please, I'd like you to pray that in the name of Jesus, your hope will stand. In the name of Jesus, your hope will stand. No divorce. No separation. In the name of Jesus, you are standing as a model by the Spirit of the Living God. Hallelujah. Now, the last prayer point, there's 1 minute now. You're going to pray. If you're married, you're still going to pray for your wife and your husband. You're not married, you're going to pray. Lord, please bring a man or a woman in my life that fears you. Let it not be that it's marriage that took me down. Please pray it all and pray it seriously. Lift your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus, pray. Pray. Call for a husband that loves God, that will serve God with all his life. A responsible man who fears God. Call for a woman of virtue, a mother in Israel. Is somebody praying? Cry unto God, the giver of all good things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The last prayer point. Listen. You're going to pray for purpose. Some of you, from this prayer, God will show you dreams. Some of you, God will make references to books that you have that are locked up in your house and say, go back and carry that book of 2001. That book of 2005, open it. There is something I told you to write there that you need to revisit. You are going to pray, Lord, like fire from heaven, the blueprint of my destiny, let it rest on me in this season. Lift your voice and pray. Cry to the Lord. Lord, let me not escort others in destiny and live a visionless and a purposeless life. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, as it is written of me, as it is written of me. The purpose for my existence, the reason for the gift of life, the reason for the gift of health, the reason for access to wealth. Open it unto me, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give us one more prayer, 1 minute. And with that prayer, I'll make an altar call. We're going to all pray and then we'll make altar call. Listen, I told you that the highest measure of wealth and fulfillment is peace. Look up. We live in a very troubled world. On one side, there's terrorism. Another side, there's plague of diverse kinds of infirmities. On one side, there's all kinds of family crises. You are going to cry, Prince of Peace. You said you will give me your peace. I need peace in my life. Listen, all this trouble, some of us have become lean because of trouble, not lack of food. Some of us have had high blood pressure at a young age because we are thinking about too many things. Listen, you are going to pray for the peace that gives you rest. Where will money come from? Where will this come from? When will I marry? When will I have a child? When will I have all? Be careful. Those things can eat up your joy and your peace. The last prayer point. Lord, for me and my loved ones, give me peace. You are the Prince of Peace. Lift your voice. Every fear, every disturbance in my heart that continues to perturb my peace, I obtain peace from you. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Is someone praying? Peace. In the name of Jesus, I receive peace. Peace over finances. Peace over marriage. Peace over my home. Some of you may need to prophesy to your homes. Peace be still. Every turbulence. Peace be still. Every attack. Peace be still. Every wind. Peace be still. Every financial turbulence. Peace be still. Every confusion in your mind. Peace be still. Every noise from society. Peace be still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we have decided as a people to celebrate this moment and this season with wisdom. You have taught us the value of connection with you, our Maker and our King. You have taught us the value of family. Lord, for those of us who have not paid attention to family, by this teaching, O God, would you cultivate a sincere desire to birth families that work. In the name of Jesus, we thank you because the marriages in this ministry will work. Exceptional homes. Homes that reflect the power, the grace, and the possibilities of God. And I pray for every home with any kind of turbulence, peace be still. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, O God of heaven, concerning our destinies, everything that stands today as a hindrance, let it give way in Jesus' name. Let this message, O God,
be etched in our hearts, that even whilst we sleep, it will replay again. In the name of Jesus, we choose the things that matter in this life. We choose to invest our days with wisdom. We choose to leave legacies that outlive us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the honor to hear your truth. In the name of Jesus. Now keep standing. I want to make an altar call. Please listen to me. Most times when we say altar call, most people just shut down. But tonight, the greatest love, the greatest expression of love was demonstrated through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. You are here on this night, inside in the overflows, and you are yet to make that commitment for Jesus. You are saying, Apostle, I want this day to never be forgotten in my life, that on Valentine's Day, while other years have not been that way, I want this year to be different. Whether you are in overflow 1, 2, 3, please stand, my dear brother. Overflow 1, 2, 3. Overflow 3, you can just move to the front of your projector stand. But as many who are inside, I want you to literally run and come and stand here. It's my honor to lead you on this day.
Would you dance with me, oh Lord, up my soul to the song that holds on?
Keep coming.
Would you dance with me, oh Lord?
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man give his life for his brethren. There are very few people who will be able to give their lives for you, but there is one who gave his life for you. You make this Valentine a very meaningful one when you hand over your all to him. He is a true lover that does not fail. Many may love circumstantially. Many may love you depending on what you become or not become. But there is one who truly loves you. Behold what manner, the Bible says, of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I salute you for making this decision. Whoever will come to him, the Bible declares that he will in no wise cast away. Please lift your right hand fully and say after me, Lord Jesus, tonight I come before you just as I am. I declare that Jesus, from today and forever, is my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I receive the remission of sin. I receive the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, and the life of God. From today, I am a child of God, connected to God forever. I declare that I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Thank you, Father, for bringing these ones. We bless you. It's an honor to be able to present these as trophies to you even on this special day. We pray that the grace that keeps, the grace that builds, the grace that empowers, may these graces work in their lives. We introduce you to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You will know him and he will make your life a wonder. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Please, I want you to follow. Just turn back. You will see a group of people waving their hands. Please, all of you.
We believe you are mightily blessed. connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI to stream Koinonia Live.
Go to meetella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7856. We love and celebrate you.